ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat Behind the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I have Coach Tony with Wrexham Texans. Now, as I did this interview, I realized I flipped the name and I kept on calling it Texans Wrexham. It's Wrexham Texans. Now, I had Tony on last year talking about what he was doing in a previous role, and now he's moved on to doing his own thing with this academy. And we talked very heavily about what he's doing, and we kind of got off on tangents, which is my norm, but I hope you all enjoy this two-part series with Tony. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
I'm Tony Mirola, getting ready to launch another pillar in my or another pillar to add to my resume, should I say. It's growing every year, but this is probably one of the most exciting projects that I've done because it's me that's going to be fully in control of it. Being aware of what players' needs are and having the time to do that, a big flaw that I've seen in the market is a lot of players' technical proficiencies, and the program that the training center that I'm looking at setting up called the Wrexham Texans. My wife's idea. She loves a little rhyme, should I say? And we're based over in Fort Worth, in North Fort Worth, out of out of out of our district middle school, and just really excited to get going and provide players of all levels, of all abilities, of all talents, just creating a program so that they can improve their technical proficiency, so they can improve their tactical side when they go back to their club coach or high school coach or whatever environment they're in.
I love it. So I know that everyone has listened. I'll like throw back. If you guys, everyone go back and listen to his original episode he did with me back last year. He talks when he was with the Caros, talking about what he's doing there. You get who he is as a background there, which is really exciting that he's branching off and doing something really exciting here. So you started Wrexham, I want to say it correctly, Football Academy to fill this gap, like you said. Now, you have a playbook, and I know you have this because you talked about it in the past. Are you going to take that playbook and try to build this academy around that playbook? Because you're taking, if you're strictly looking at the Football Academy, and for everyone that's listening, academy is a learning center. Think of it as school to go fine-tune your knowledge. So it's not a team environment. It's more of individual, and you can teach some tactics in small groups, but it's not the same as a team. It's extra touches. As you're doing this, are you going to take your playbook that you created and use that as your foundation or your pillar to build your academy with?
Yeah, no, 100%. The only part of the playbook that I won't be taking with me right now will be the game model, which is the tactical side of the game, the tactical side of what I believe and how I believe the game should be played. You know, it's the training center and the Wrexham Texans Football Academy is not intended to improve players' tactical awareness, because that's down to the club coach or the high school coach. I don't want to contradict anything that they're saying. All our programs offer, especially in the training center, which is broken into two parts, by the way. It's one is called the School of Development. So underneath the training center is the School of Development.
With the academy, you have, how's it set up for you guys then?
So how the academy is set up is it's in two parts. Well, there's actually four different programs we offer, but our signature program is called the training center. And inside that training center is housed our technical program that I brought from the playbook, and hence technical program. You know, out of the playbook, like I said before, we've took out the tactical side of that, the game model, because we don't want to contradict with anything that the club or high school coaches are doing. So how it's set up, under the training center, we have the School of Development, which is for kids ages 4 through 10. And then we have a Center of Excellence, which is for kids aged 11 through 18. So it's two different programs for two different age groups. But the technical program is very similar. The only options would be what we would do with a 7-year-old in a technical drill compared to what we might do with a kid who's 15 is just we measure it by time. So a kid at 6 years old has 8 or 9 seconds to complete a technical activity. An older player, regardless of their ability, would have significantly less time. So the structure and the technical proficiencies are there. It's just that we would make it slightly difficult for the older players.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's what I've learned interviewing people so far. The way you add pressure is by time. So that's awesome that you just manipulate the aspect. So Center of Excellence is for 11 through 18, and the technical school is from, I didn't catch the 8, but it's for U10 and younger, correct?
U10 and younger is the School of Development. So it's all in the title. We wanted to make sure that it's a school that develops players ready for the Center of Excellence from 11 and above. That's where we start really talking about like more excellence in everything they do. So we're not just trying to teach good human beings to be good technically savvy players. We're actually trying to teach kids to be good people when they leave our fields too.
So describe for me, I mean, you have the time pressure, which you talked about the difference in how you, do you keep the same model? This is something that I'm learning more about as a parent, that a lot of these centers will teach the same tactics from, let's say, U4 until U18. The only difference is everything's built upon. So if they're the basics are there at U6, let's say, but then you have a U18 player, the time, there's added time, but will you be adding on more specialty items into that training session versus the U6 because they have the foundation already there? If they've been coming to you for a while, they have the foundation. So when they jump to the more technical side.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think it's like on a case by case. It depends on the type of players that come into our program. So for example, we have to tailor the technical program to the needs of the player. So for example, if I get a 6'5" center back coming in to our program, I'm not going to teach that center back how to do a double scissors or a dribble, because that's not what they're going to be doing in the game. So we have to make sure that whatever players come into our program, we have a technical program for defenders. We have a technical program for midfield players, for wide players, for strikers. It's relevant. It's all relevant to the players that obviously come in. So from that perspective, yeah, we want to try and build on every technical foundation in the school of development, because a six-year-old might be really good at dribbling at 6 years old, but then when that kid gets to 10 or 11, they might actually be a better passer of the ball than a dribbler. So that dribbler now becomes a midfield player. The technical program for that player would change significantly from improving dribbling techniques to now receiving the ball on your back foot to switch to the opposite side, for example.
Yeah, I think parents need to realize that. I see what you're saying. Like as a parent, we need to realize that when you bring in a six-year-old, I don't want to call it, the defining moment of who they are as a player has already been decided of the position. Now, looking at it, so you guys are out of North Fort Worth. I completely missed this, and I'm sorry for everyone. You guys are out of North Fort Worth. Roughly whereabouts? What facility or address as
so
of
we're,
right now?
So we're going to be based in like the Eagle Mountain, Saginaw and Hazlet area. So it's just west of 35. We're probably halfway. We're literally 20 minutes north from downtown Fort Worth. And then if you keep going further north, we're probably 25 minutes away from Texas Motor Speedway. So we're in an area that's, and I know this because I've been working in the high schools in this area for a long time. There's not really any, there's a couple of, you know, small clubs that are doing stuff. But we're based in an area where kids are traveling over to Plano still and McKinney. They're traveling down to Fort Worth, South Fort Worth, which trying to get through downtown to a session for 6 o'clock is tough, unless you're paying $12 for the expressway, which it's
heads up quick.
Yeah, it does. And if you go there and back three times a week, so we're just one of my goals, and one of the things I tried to do with the Vaqueros, and based on that model last year, was we're trying to bring that product to kids and families and make it as accessible as possible for these kids to play. Now we're making strides in bringing this technical program, this training center to the doors of people to make it convenient. What we haven't done and what we can't do right now is set up, obviously, or help facilitate leagues, you know. So we could have a player that comes into us, they're still going to have to maybe go to a club over that side of town that do play games on the weekend, that are not in this area. But that's something that, you know, I'm trying to work with local admin in our school districts to hopefully try and facilitate. Because over this side, you know, in the district that I work in right now, the facilities we have, you know, the high schools over this side are just, they're on par with some colleges back in the UK, and I would say even here in the US. So we have the facilities, we have a lot of, we have the bandwidth for players. These kids just need programs that's going to be accessible for them, so they're not traveling 40 minutes away. We're bringing that program to them.
I'm in Keller, so all the ones that I come across are all in near Plano.
Yeah.
McKinney, Allen, Frisco. And as a parent with a young kid, my kid's 10, my daughter's 6. We travel 30 minutes for a Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday night skills thing right now. And we're from our house, it's about the same distance, and if not, maybe even shorter. It's Eagle Mountain's only, that area, Saginaw is only 15 minutes drive from our house, depending on time of day. So
the area is growing vastly, you know, like we're right on the border of Eagle Mountain and Northwest ISD, which is probably one of the fastest growing school districts in the whole of North Texas right now. That it I lived in McKinney, we lived in Frisco. North Fort Worth is becoming very similar to North, like it is in North Dallas. There's yes. suburbs, there's areas, there's, you know, Alliance, the area of Alliance is just, it's just the whole North Fort Worth area is booming, and people are coming in from all over the US. And we're seeing quite a lot of soccer players that want to keep playing, but they don't want to travel in that way, you know?
It gets old. I mean, nothing against the drive. Like, I would be willing to make it for the right program for my kid.
Yeah.
It just takes a toll. I mean, it takes a physical and mental toll on a family, a financial toll because the wear and tear on the car and gas and all that fun stuff. So to have something actually on the west side of town is exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting for me as a parent.
Yeah. The thing is with that, Ian, as well, I'm always saying these kids need to be kids. You know, when can they go and do the homework? When can they go and goof about with the dog and the trampoline in the backyard? If you're practicing 3-4 times a week and you're spending, you know, 30 minutes each way, it's an hour. That's 4 hours in the car that, like, you know, I've known kids to be doing homework coming back from a practice over in McKinney. It's like,
yes.
These 10-year-olds, 10, 11-year-olds, come on.
Yeah, it's amazing to me some of the dedication these kids have at a young age, and it transfers into the game. You see the dedication in the game. So now you guys are out in Saginaw, McKinney. Now, if someone came out to you guys, what should they expect to see jumping right out of the gate? Because I think that is their first impression. Is it a lot of screaming and yelling, or is it more of, I call it a coach's bark? It's not mean. It's not nasty. It is just a coach guiding, giving direction. Or is it more of a subtle environment where it's small, intimate groups and they're working together?
It's the thing that would pop out the most would be it's a structured environment with flexibility inside it, and flexibility and freedom. So what I mean by that is that the area will be guided. There'll be a lot of guided questions, a lot of guided discovery. It will be a lot of visuals, but everything will be related to that player's portfolio on the field. So if it's a defender, you know, and we could be doing, we try and replicate game situations, like lots of 1v1s, lots of 2v2s. We do a lot of overloads of 2v1. So if your number's up, number's down. But everything is specific to movements in the game. So we do a lot of unopposed stuff. So what I mean by that is a lot of technical repetitions with a ball each or a ball between two in a circuit that mirrors certain traits that they might be in a game. So, for example, if we have a player that's 9 years old, plays with three midfield players, but predominantly plays as a holding midfield player, we will set up drills that replicate that so they get enough touches or as maximum touches as they can of, like, receiving the ball on the back foot or using the ball with the outside of the foot to switch the play to the opposite side. So it's a lot of movements, it's a lot of repetitions, it's a lot of structured environment, but with that flexibility inside it for kids to perform any trick they want. I don't care how you get the ball from A to B, okay? Because I'm going to teach you a skill that you might not be comfortable with. What are you comfortable with improving on to get from one side to the other? It might be on the back foot. It might be the outside of the foot. I'm not going to tell them, no, it's this way. It's the Tony Mirola way or it's the Wrexham Texans way. It's what is the best for that individual kid that's going to give them the best opportunity of being successful from a technical perspective. Then they can go and perform that technique in that environment, because now the coaches having a technically proficient player or a better player.
I agree. So I heard this recently, and how do you feel about this? Why practice something you aren't doing and use in a game? Now, putting it back to where you're coming from, you want them to be comfortable enough to use whatever you're teaching them So it's just second nature. So they use it in a game. It's not a skill set they aren't comfortable with, if that makes sense. If I'm phrasing this question correctly for
yeah,
you.
No, it's like I said, we don't want to set kids up for failure. And I think that's one thing, and I've mentioned this to you before, Ian, is that when I first came to the US, and I still see it a little bit now, when I have a lot more time now to go and watch training sessions and observe training sessions now that I'm sort of out of the club scene. I still teach in the day, which is a great job I have right now. But the biggest thing I see is still coaches still trying to perform tactical elements, even at the high school level, when technically they can't execute that tactic. So in my opinion, we're setting kids up for failure because they can't switch the play from one side to the other because they can't receive the ball on the back foot. That's a skill that they would need to master. And that's they're things that we would be doing within our training center.
I love it. So if you have a player that comes to you, let's say a U9 player comes into your session and they're with you for, let's say, 6 months, do you give the parents an evaluation after so much time in that 6 months? Do you give them a monthly recap or a player evaluation where you've seen them grow, or do you give it a little bit more time? I know every place is slightly different. If you have a program set up, is it a 8-week program? Then you give an evaluation of the player at the end of the 8 weeks and recommendations for the next 8 weeks, or how do you have this set up to be?
It's 3 months. So when they would come in, they would have a baseline test. So they would do an agility test, a passing test, a receiving test, and I think the other one was a dribbling test. So they would do 4 tests, same distance for a 6-year-old to an 18-year-old. So it's short, it's sharp. And then they would be timed on that drill that they would do. On the passing challenge, for example, they would be timed for that one, but they would be timed and audited or edited on their passing completion. So we have a baseline, and then at the end of the 3 months, they would then do the exact same test with the exact same distance and see if they've improved by time.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so literally they would get, if they were in our program for 12 months, they would get 4 evaluations a year. The first one would be the baseline, and then we'd get 3 follow-ups every 3 months to see if they've obviously got faster and see if their passing accuracy has obviously improved too.
Gotcha. Now, as they sign up for your program, it is, you said it's 3 months and they'll get a baseline testing. Then every time they go through it, they get another baseline testing. Now, is this every day of the week? Is this certain days of the week? Is this a program that is more centric around the player schedule, or is it more around a set schedule that you've crafted and created?
How it works basically is it's like an a la carte menu. So the training center with the School of Development and the Center of Excellence is twice a week. So they'll go Tuesday and Thursday, just for 1 hour, and it's pure technical reps. I understand that some players are already practicing Monday and Wednesday. So then they also have an option at a cheaper rate to pick either Tuesday or Thursday. So they can come for twice a week, or they can come for once a week, for one session a week, 4 times. So 4 times a month. We do offer, what we've also started to do is we've started to do Friday night pickup games purely for 4 to 14-year-olds, where kids will come and it's pickup games. They'll play small-sided games. And then we also have a Saturday morning club, which is skill-based. So the Friday are the pickup games, 4 to 14. And then the Saturday mornings are 9 till 10, where that is just an introduction to new skills and new tricks and turns. So we're trying to offer different varieties because we know that kids have and parents have a busy schedule. Some of them might play different sports on a Tuesday and Thursday, but they still have an opportunity to maybe come on the Saturday morning, or they have an opportunity to come on the Friday night.
Now, I look at it as this. My son has team training 3 days a week. He has plays 1 or 2 games every weekend, depending on how the lovely North Texas weather's cooperating.
Yes, yeah.
And for someone like us, where we have a up and down schedule, there's no set frequency for the most part, it seems lately, because of weather. How do you guys do private sessions then for players that are looking for that? Or is this mostly group sessions?
No, probably one of my most busiest time slots now is through individual sessions. We cater a lot of one-on-ones, but what we've seen lately is we have been doing group sessions of three and four, maximum four, because now the individual sessions are good, but there's only so much you can do with an individual. But then once you start getting two or three players, we have a group of three players that come out every other week. And it's great because they're all midfield players and they play in a three. So all we work on is rotations of those three players that might replicate what they might do in a game. So they're doing little give and goes, little round the corners, little lofted passes into each other, little side volleys into goals for targets, as if it's, you know, using them for an outside backs moving up forward. So we do cater for a lot of those, but then also what we've housed within the Wrexham Texans Football Academy is we actually offer player analysis. So we have players that will play a game on the weekend, and then they will send that video into me, where I will watch the game and I will break down certain technical elements, not tactical. I don't want to, you know, annoy the coach. Or contradict anything that he says, and we break it down we break it down purely on a technical performance. So we've not really done that many for club kids or high school kids, but because I'm still coaching the semi pro team this summer, I've had quite a few college players that I've sent in their videotape and just said, "Coach, I'm really struggling to drive forward with that first touch out of my feet. You know, what can I? Here's my highlights. Here's my clips. You know, what do you suggest?" And it's the little detail of like a starting position. Okay, so you really want to be able to go exploit the space in the final third, but your starting position, your back is to goal. If you just twist your hips 90 degrees so that when you receive that ball, so your hips are facing forward, now the momentum is for you just to drive forward into that space. It's the little details that we're trying, and that's become pretty popular, but that's, I might need to hire someone to help me with that, because it's pretty time consuming, because I don't want to miss anything. I want to make sure that I get as much information by watching that game back. So we're catering quite a lot. We're doing quite a lot, to be fair. We're offering lots of programs that is hopefully going to cover a really large population of soccer players, but different levels, different ages, and different areas of the US, you know?
Now, you sparked something in my head. How many coaches are actually working with you going through this process?
There's just myself right now. And then we have our assistant coach, our assistant, sorry. I coach the girls at the middle school this year. And then the boys head coach, Aaron Griffith, great guy, former college player. Similar age of me. Obviously, he looks a lot older than me. I'm joking, by the way. He looks good for his age. He looks a lot better than me when I'm his age, or his age. So there's me and him, that he helps me with the Saturday morning clubs, the Friday skills, and just a good person, very knowledgeable and eager to learn. And because he's been in this district as well, he knows. He knows what it takes to become a top soccer player. And he understands that our values here at the Wrexham Texans is what he wants to be involved in. So they're just me and him right now, but I should imagine as this grows and gets bigger, we will start attracting some people to help me out with the camps and the training center.
So do you guys offer, how do I describe it? I know you're only working more on the individual technical side of the game, but do you have like sit down classes where you sit down and talk to the players when you're out on the pitch? I guess that's where you'd be doing it, is on the pitch, talking to them about going over videos, or is it strictly trying to do everything in live motion where it is not using technology so much, but more physical touch, physical movement to coach versus technology?
Yeah, it's a case by case. Majority of it is on the field of play, because I believe that's the office. That's where everything goes. The classroom work is important because they need to visualize it. They need to visually see their body position when they receive a ball. But majority of our work is on the field. But then the challenge we set them is that, right, this is us teaching you what we believe is the correct technical performance. It's down to you now to use that technique in the game environment that your coach is asking you to do in the tactical side. So I think the real life comes when they go back to their environment, but when they're with us, it's just that technical work with the challenge of them going back to their environment and doing it in their own backyard with their club or high school.
Now, looking at this coming from a parent perspective, when you're working with a player and they're struggling with a certain movement, will you break it down even more for them? I know more in private settings and smaller group settings, you're able to do this, but sometimes when you're in private and smaller groups, you can't always break down if player A is struggling with, like you said, positioning of the hips. You need to move your hips a certain way to receive the ball, and they're struggling with it. Will you pull them aside after the session and talk to their parents and them, or would you do it in the moment and try to get them to actually do it without taking too much time away from everything else?
Yeah, I think and
that's a hard one. I know that
is. That's a good question again. But again, if a kid is struggling to perform a certain technique over and over and over again, well, maybe the kid is not ever gonna do that technique. So maybe let's find what the kid is comfortable doing. So again, you know, you're not gonna ask. We don't do much heading techniques, but you're never gonna. Messi's coach when he was a kid would never be doing a heading session with Messi, for example. You know, so I think the question for me would be: listen, we need to try and improve certain elements and certain aspects of it, but there's a time where we might just have to sit back and say, hey, no disrespect, but you can't receive the ball on your left foot, but maybe you can receive it with the outside of your foot. So there's just little elements that we can break down. And sometimes we just got to say, hey, that's not in your skill set to perform. You know, we should never be over emphasizing what a kid should be doing just because it looks good and it seems good. Kid can't do it. What can they do? And what can they do even better than what they can do right now?
I like that, because as a parent, you see so many times you go to these camps and if they don't receive the ball the correct way in the drill, they just get yelled at the whole time or keep on messing up, and everyone gets frustrated at them.
Yeah.
their teammates, because they aren't doing what they're being told to do. It's now you're trying to actually take advantage of, okay, you may not be able to do this. We're doing a shift pivot and have you do it a different way, which is might give them confidence later on to do it the way that you were trying to show it 3 months from now. It's amazing how a little change of direction from a coach will actually progress them the direction that you may want. As a parent watching this game now for a while, it's been fun watching that.
Yeah.
Do you guys talk a lot about, and this is an area that I think is important, is visualization and thinking through the process of what they're doing and having them understand it. The best thing I've heard so far, if you visually can't see yourself do it, you can't do the task at hand. And like, as an athlete, that's so important, being able to see yourself do it. Do you guys work through an aspect of that in these sessions of them closing their eyes or whatever it may be, visualizing them to go do it and then sending them on their way to go do it? Or do you guys just hit the pitch running and have them try to figure out along the way?
I think, and yet again, it's something that I've actually thought about doing. I have a HiPod. I have a big 25-foot HiPod that I've wanted to do it last week, but it was a little bit windy where I could just set it up. And that might be something that I'll be delivering, as long as we can get consent from all the parents for the sessions to actually be videoed. That will be made available to them, because you're right. When I was a player, we didn't have hardly any of the equipment that's out there now. And I'm a big visual learner. So for me, if a player's performing a technique and it's not correct or it's not right, if they could visually see that, I think that would definitely help them focus on it a little bit more, but also from a parent perspective. And that's a good measurement of a tool as well. If a kid can't receive the ball in the air on week one, but on week five, his first touch receiving that ball from the air is now a little bit more controllable, or that first touch out of the feet is too far away on week one, but now it's a little bit tighter to the body. If that's captured on video, that's a good measurement tool as well. So to answer your question, I've not done that yet, but that is in the process that we want every... I've got the tools. I'm a one-man show right now because the other coach, obviously, you know, is a family man, and we're in the middle of... We're about to start our middle school season also, and it takes a while to set it up. So that's something that we definitely will be looking at implementing. But it just seems to be windy in Texas all the time right now. I'm like, give me a break. The weather's been great, but it's like too windy. It's messing my hair up.
I know how you feel about your hair being blown around.
Yeah, it looks like yours has been blown off. What's going on? I'm joking, by the way.
And that's the thing. I think parents, as a parent, I like watching... going over with my son from the time he's been 7 or 6. I like have always liked going over his games. My daughter, on the other hand, I've asked her to sit down and watch stuff with me, and she's like, no, I don't, that's not her thing. And I get it, two different personalities, two different kids. But as a parent, to understand what my kid's struggling with, it's great to see. And also, like you said, it's something you can offer to the families. So if someone came in, you said that you have, going back to your sessions that you're running, it's 3 months long.
No, it's year round. Sorry.
Right. But I'm saying you do three sessions, 3 months at a time. Correct. It's 3 months, then another 3 months. It's year round, but yeah, it's you're signing up for a 3 month program.
Basically, it's a month to month process.
For month to month process.
What I encourage is that every 3 months we'll be doing an evaluation, and if you want to sign up for another 3 months because you like it. But what we can't do is just say, oh, come to us for a month, and then, oh, I just expect results and I expect my kid to now be getting Division One offers in a month. It's like, kid's 8. Come on, give me a break, you know. But, you know, 3 months is, that's 12 sessions. That's 12 hours with myself and maximizing as many touches on the ball as we can.
I think that's key. I think parents need to take a step back and realize soccer is a journey and not a sprint. And I always like to, I recently posted on social media, it was, they're talking about growth and how it's like an up and down, like the stock market, and it's, you know, hit high peaks and you'll see it come. Most kids don't come back down. It is a plateau. I drew a straight line and I drew a bunch of squiggles across the straight line. And I go, that is youth growth. It's as long as it's progressing up, that's all that matters. But does it matter if they're falling back or going forward or whatever it may be? It is, players go through slumps. I've recently learned, maybe you've been around this game longer than I have, watch learning about growth spurts. That was a big thing that has really taught me. Most kids go through a plateau time frame through a growth spurt, and parents, they're relearning how to use their body because they grew a half inch, or an inch, or whatever it may be, and they have to relearn how to adjust, and it's very fascinating. But getting off tangent again, but going back to what you will be doing. So when you set it up, your training sessions, they are, like you said, there is speed and agility. There's the individual tactical side of it, and how do you break down for speed and agility to a parent? How would you explain that type of session to a parent then?
The speed and agility aspect will be a small part of the session. It'll probably be 10 minutes maximum, 12 minutes maximum. But it'll all be what I like to do. Probably our sessions, our technical sessions in the training center are probably 80% with the ball, 20% without. The 20% without are always going to be specific movements to what they might occur with in the game. So you ain't going to see me running kids around the field for 3 laps because, it's endurance. No, it's if a player's jogging around the field, they shouldn't be on the soccer field. Maybe they should go and do a 5K marathon or something like that, if that's what they're training for, you know. So we would do a lot of specific movements, like 6 yards forward, then a direction to the left, 8 yards, direction to the right, 8 yards, running backwards, running forwards. We want to make sure that a kid is in control of their body, running short distance, that is specific to the game. So if I'm a defender, I might sprint forward 6 yards, but then I've got to back pedal 8 yards because my team have lost possession. And now I've got to get back, but I've got to get back facing the play. So I'm not turning my back. So once they've mastered that, 6 minutes maximum, right, the challenge now is, right, you've just done 8 sprints specific to the game without the ball. Now we're going to do 8 sprints specific to the game, but now we're going to incorporate it with the ball. I've failed before where I've gone in and just done sessions with kids straight away with the ball, but they don't understand the concept of where, when, how, and why should I run in certain areas. So, and I find that is very beneficial to the player because they're getting a little bit of a workout. They're getting specific to everything else that they have. And it's specific to the, it's specific to the game or specific to the position that they're playing. If it's a defender, it might be forwards and backwards. If it's a midfield player, the movements might be side to side. If it's a forward or a wide player, it might be like little zigzag runs. So just trying to cover a lot of bases on that speed and agility aspect.
You mentioned something that always makes me chuckle. You train for what you're playing.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you hear parents like, my kid should go out and run a marathon or a 5K. It's like, but that's not the same running as in a soccer match. You might go run 100 yards and that's it, and then you might backpedal 10 yards like you were talking about. So yeah, it's training, doing that speed and agility for then when you work on your technical stuff, is it cone based, mannequin based? Is it just them working with someone else in front of them, trying to give them a point of reference? Is it a training session along the lines of movement with the ball around objects, or how do you have that set up then for
them? So obviously it's the speed and agility to start with, the different movements, the different changes of directions. There'll be a lot of it cone based, so they visualize like certain elements and certain areas. Or I always use cones as a reference for a defender, so obviously check to the cone, check away. You've seen all that type of stuff before. And then we'll obviously remove the cones and see if the kids can visualize and pick it up without the cones. So what we've tried to do is, on a Tuesday, we might do a double Y shape, for example, which is a technical drill we use a lot of. But then on the Thursday, we'll take the cones away, but we'll still do a double Y shape. Right, can you do it now based on what we did on Tuesday, just to see if they remember it? Because on a field, there's no cones, is there? We know that. The field that we use has football lines, so we try and use those lines as references. But then we have to make sure, I've got to be a little bit more careful, because most players now from club perspectives don't play on football fields. They play on soccer fields. So I've got to use references on the field where it might be, right, if you're a midfield player, can you receive the ball and central to the goal? So if we have goals there, so yeah, again, you know, if you're a midfield player on the field to play, can you make sure you can see 3 corner flags? So you're really scanning and opening your body. So trying to give them references on the field that they might be encouraged to use when they're actually on a real soccer field, instead of saying, right, if you're a defender and you want to drop off onto the 40-yard line, if I was to say something like that, kids are like, what? I don't play in a football yard line, you know? Okay, so what we say is, right, if you're a defender and you lose the ball, can you drop off 20 yards? So you're like approximately 10, 15 yards outside the penalty box. It just gives them references so that they go, oh, here we go when I go onto the field to play. Got to be careful with that type of stuff, because you start working on a little bit of tactics, because then you squeeze up the field, for example. The coach might say, I don't want you to drop off. I want you to stay there, which for me is suicide, if I'm completely honest, because you left a big space over the top of you.
Right.
But other coaches might be different to that, and that's fine. It's all about it's all opinion based. Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. It's figuring out how to give them guidance. And this is where you have to have them, like, you need to figure out what your coach says to you for this, but this gives you a point of reference of where you need to
yeah,
be.
Awesome.
I think that's key, because if they have a point of reference, even if they go back to practice and the coach says something completely different, I'm going to be honest, at the age about U10 and up, kids understand, like, they'll hear different voices from different coaches, and what their coach will actually tell them to do is completely different what they may get in one training session, but they have the smart as the intelligence to know this is what I was taught here. I can find the balance that works for me. As the player, I watch kids all the time playing. They may go work with this coach doing this, and the coach will say this, but their coach will coach completely different, and they might want a higher press and not play the low block. And that's fine. And the kids are smart enough to figure it out at a certain age. Not every kid's the same, but especially when you're working with U14 and up, they get that this is what my coach wants, this is what you want here, but I know the balance between the two. So I get what you're saying. You don't want to go against the coach, but also I think we have to give kids the credit due that they're very smart. And
I agree. Yeah, they are. There's some smart cookies out there. A lot smarter than I was their age, I tell you.
And that's the thing. I think we have to give that as them. When you're talking to the players through the guided question side of things, that was one thing when I coached for the short stint that I did was the most important side of it. It was forcing the kids to be creative. And sometimes you get those unique answers. You're like, okay, you're thinking on the right page. Do you spend a lot more time trying to make them be more conscious of how they're playing through guided questions than you would in a regular training session, since you've had the experience, since you do coach, mm-hmm. Do you spend more time trying to guide them through their own thinking versus giving them the answers, because that's where the creativity comes from? Or do you expect them, after so many chances, do you coax them more the right direction that you want to go?
Yeah, I think what we're trying to install a lot at the Rex and Tech at our new academy is we see a lot, or what I've seen a lot of before is, right, this is the why. I've seen lots of why you should do this, why you should dribble forward, a big thing that I think that has been lacking, and some coaches have done it and some clubs do it, most haven't, is the how. And that's what I'm trying to teach right now, is like, we know the why, we know why we should be doing it, we know when we should be doing it, we know where we should be doing it, but tell me how to do it. And that's a lot of questions. That's probably one of the most powerful words that we use within our training center, is we always ask questions, open any question, like, right, okay, so you know you've got to get the ball from here to here, we know you have to dribble through this gate and then run backwards, how can you do it? Okay, because what I'm asking that kid to do might not suit that kid's technical proficiency. It's like you said, and this is where the structure or the flexibility within the structured program go. I need you to get with 8 seconds from point A to B to C and back to A. How you do it is entirely up to you, right? Once they do that, I then can see the technique that they use, for example, and then try and critique it to make it even better. So we give them the structure to perform it. I then give them the visual of, like, this is how I think it should be done. Try both, and whichever's comfortable for you and whichever's more successful, that's great. And then we just refine it and just refine that technique even more, or even faster, should I say.
I like that. I think you are right. I think coaches and parents all focus on the why and not the how. I think we just assume they'll do the how on their own and not. Yeah. I think that will really set you apart there with what you're trying to set up with the guided questions. Now, when you're running through a session, and I'm visualizing this in my head, and you said you try to do as much game like experiences, if it's overloading or underloading circumstances, if it's small groups, if it's do you guys work on, I know coaches do set pieces differently, you can't really dictate that, but placement of the ball. So if a player comes to you guys and will you guys work on a set piece from a corner? I mean, you can't change what the coach is doing, but if a kid's taking a corner kick, are you doing help him work on his corner kicks? Or if he's coming in and you're going to teach him how to position his body against a defender on a corner kick, because that's all individual, the side of everything. Are you going to help them with that type of stuff? Or this is more of the open field play versus the more of the, I call it, the more fine tuning of the players' individual skill sets and set pieces ultimately?
Yeah, I would stay away. We stay away from set pieces because that, to me, that's a tactic. That's part of the tactic that the coach wants to perform. Now, if a kid comes to me and says, "Coach, I'm taking all my club's set pieces. I'm taking all my high school team's corners, but my coach really wants to overload on the back post, and I can't get it past the near post. Can you work on some technical proficiencies that will get the ball to the back post?" I'm 100% okay with that because that's what the club coach, high school coach is doing. I'm now there to provide different angles and different techniques on how to get the ball on. Yet again, on the how. This is how we do it. Okay, right. Show me what you've been doing. Can't get it past the front post. Okay, it's because your non-kicking foot is too far away from the ball. You've got to get closer to the ball when you make contact with it. It's a simple fix like that. Second part, what I'm seeing now is, right, your non-kicking foot's there, you still can't get past it. When you make contact with the ball, you're basically stopping. You're making contact with the ball, your leg just doesn't go. You've got to make sure that you extend that leg and kick through. So within two parts, now they've managed that technique. So he's improved his technique, the kid or the girl or whoever it is. The coach, his tactic is hitting the back post. So everyone's a winner. I've not contradicted anything. If anything, I've helped that player get better, which is effectively going to help his
right. And that's
perform that set piece.
Right, I'm right there with you. That's how I'm trying to understand. Like, will you take, like, I'll use, you took a player that was taking the corners and he has to hit a certain placement.
Yeah.
And are you going to help them correct to get to that movement? Or if they're taking a set piece from outside the 18, are you going to help them be able to better, I hate to say it, but drop the ball where they need to drop it according to their team tactics? Because at the end of the day, you can't, if it's just you and three kids or four kids, you can't really have the whole running around in the box and having them do the movement, but you can give them points of targets to pass the ball to.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. And that would come under the individual part of the club. That would not be in the development center.
Okay.
That would be something. So if there's players out there that need to perform that certain technique where it needs that one-on-one, that's where it would come in. We wouldn't be able to cover that in the development, in the training center, because that takes the focus away from obviously, you know, other players.
No, I'm just trying to see what's out there.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I love it.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. This is a two-part series, so I continue on next week with part two with Tony. I think you guys are doing and really enjoy what he's trying to do and accomplish here. So stay tuned until next week.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.